President Barack Obama is in New York today. He speaks at the opening session of the 70th United Nations General Assembly. On Sunday, he spoke at the closing session of the summit to adopt the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development. He committed the U.S. to a new blueprint to eliminate poverty and hunger around the world, which includes investing in young people.
Perhaps because this is now my seventh year of addressing the General Assembly, I tend to be more blunt. Along with the gray hair, I'm becoming more likely to speak my mind. So indulge me when I say that we will never achieve our goals if we do not squarely confront several insidious threats to the dignity and well-being of people around the world.
Obama repeated what he said when he visited Kenya, that development is threatened by bad governance.
So in the face of corruption that siphons billions away from schools and hospitals and infrastructure into foreign bank accounts, governments have to embrace transparency and open government and rule of law. And combating illicit finance must be a global effort because it is part of our development effort. And citizens and civil society groups must be free to organize and speak their mind and work for progress. Because that's how countries develop. That's how countries succeed.
The president said development is threatened by inequality, a political debate we have in this country.
The wealthiest and most powerful in our societies oftentimes like to keep things as they are. And they often have disproportionate political influence. When poor children are more likely to get sick and die than children in wealthier neighborhoods just across town, when rural families are more likely to go without clean water, when ethnic and religious minorities, or people with disabilities, or people of different sexual orientations are discriminated against or can't access education and opportunity, that holds all of us back. And so in all of our countries, we have to invest in the interventions that allow us to reach more people, because no one should be left behind just because of where they live or what they look like.
Obama told delegates that 800 million men, women, and children scrape by on less than $1.25 a day, and that billions of people are at risk of dying from preventable diseases. And he called it a moral outrage that many children are just one mosquito bite away from death. Obama said the goals of the 15-year plan are ambitious, but he says they can be achieved if governments work together. This evening, Obama meets with Russian President Vladimir Putin on the sidelines of the annual gathering of world leaders. It will be their first face-to-face meeting in nearly a year. Putin wants to talk about Syria. Obama wants to concentrate on Ukraine. In preparation for the Obama-Putin meeting on Sunday, Secretary of State John Kerry and Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov discussed Russia's military involvement in Syria, including the possibility of a political transition in the war-torn country. Obama's Deputy National Security Advisor Ben Rhodes said Obama, coming off the success of the Iran deal and the overture to Cuba, will argue the merits of diplomacy and engagement. On Tuesday, Obama meets with Cuban President Raul Castro, their second meeting since the U.S. and Cuba restored diplomatic ties late last year. On Sunday, Castro held a meeting with former U.S. President Bill Clinton. They talked about several issues, including aid to Haiti. Raul Castro also met on Friday with Mayor Bill de Blasio and the Prime Minister of Sweden. Meanwhile, the Pope's U.S. trip ended last night. He went back to Rome. In Philadelphia, he met privately with five survivors of sex abuse. He promised them that those responsible will be held accountable. In an effort to reshape the discussion, the Vatican said not all the victims had been abused by clergy, that some were violated by relatives or educators. Victim support groups were unimpressed by the meeting, which took place at a seminary on the edge of Philadelphia and lasted about a half hour. The main victim support group, SNAP, dismissed it as an exercise in public relations. David Closees said, "Is a child anywhere on earth safer now that a pope for maybe the seventh or eighth time or ninth time has briefly chatted with abuse victims?" "No," he said. After the World Meeting of Families in Philadelphia, Francis spoke to about 300 bishops who had participated. He referred to gay marriage for the first time on his U.S. trip. He lamented the new reality in which Christians must live, but he also urged the bishops to redirect their energy away from complaining about it, saying a church that does nothing but explain its doctrines is dangerously unbalanced and stuck in a vicious circle. The U.S. bishops have spent considerable time and resources battling gay marriage, calling its legalization by the U.S. Supreme Court 3 months ago a tragic error and profoundly immoral and unjust. Police in Northern California say vandals defaced a statue of Father Junipero Serra at the Carmel Mission, where the remains of the recently canonized missionary are buried. Carmel police said vandals struck Saturday night, damaging statues, gravesites, and signs, and spewing green and white paint on doors. The mission says a statue of Serra and other historic statues in the courtyard were toppled. Photos posted on the mission's Facebook page show someone wrote "Saint of Genocide" on a stone. On Friday, Pope Francis elevated Serra to sainthood. The 18th century Spanish friar brought the Catholic faith to California. Many Native Americans say the missions cut their ancestors off from their traditional languages and cultures and enslaved those who converted to Christianity. In other news, the Chicago Sun-Times reports that the Chicago Police Department routinely spied on activist groups during the past 6 years. Police records show that they spied on union members, anti-Olympics protesters, anarchists, the Occupy movement, NATO demonstrators, and critics of the Chinese government. And it continued to do so, this according to records which have never previously been made public and which the police department fought to withhold. Under department's rules, cops aren't allowed to purposely interfere with people exercising their free speech rights. In recent years, though, department officials have repeatedly justified spying on protesters by saying they fear they might engage in disorder and civil disobedience. One investigation involving the surveillance of protest groups is still underway. 10 months after it was launched, the records show, the police won't say who is being investigated or discuss the methods being used. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.